Packers.
Packers back.
And other stuff we love.
Hey, you, beer me, beer us together, naturally.
No, make every word beer.
Beer, 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 beer.
Please welcome the man who carries the beer 24/7.
It is very clear that everyone must say the beer.
From Cheesehead TV, Aaron Nagler.
Care of the G Radio, welcome back to Season 2. Aaron Nagler here in New York City. Bill Schmid holding it down at the iHeart Metroplex in the greater Milwaukee area. Bill, how the hell are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great, Nags. You cannot tell me, you can't be able to fully understand my excitement being able to be back on terrestrial radio, being back across the state of Wisconsin Game Network, and most importantly, back on the Cheesehead TV YouTube page where we've been living for the entirety of the offseason. However, when these two blends, when they fully mesh here during the season, and we get to do this thing live and in living color,
yeah,
there's nothing better.
Nothing better. That is right. That is correct. And the people are already chiming in on the YouTube channel. Absolutely love it. You can catch us on all the iHeart socials as well. And then, you know, mix it up with us. Let us know. The Nicolay talk and text line is open. People can call in if they want. We want to hear from you people. You know, it's not just Billy and I. It's a conversation that you are a part of, hopefully. I mean, unless you're just chilling and you just want to hear two guys chatting about the green and gold, because that's what we're here for, ultimately. And yes, the Packers took that L, that big fat L down in Brazil. I was there to witness it. Other than that, it was great. I had a great time in Brazil, but... Yeah, the game, Billy, I got to say, if there's one word I would use to describe that game, it would be disappointing.
I kind of thought you were going to go there. I was
disappointing, Billy.
I felt like that was where you were going to go with it.
Absolutely disappointing. As far as much positive that we saw on the practice field this summer, you were there. You were there every day, especially at the beginning when you were, you know, in the sun.
Yeah,
beaten
roasting,
down,
no
in
doubt.
The heat, as it were. Man, we saw so much positive work, and so much of it seemed to go missing in that first game against the Eagles. Now, that's not to say there wasn't good stuff on display, because there certainly was. The Packers scored 29 points. I thought, for all the hand-wringing about the defense and the fact that they gave up 34 points, which is obviously not winning football, when you go back and you watch it, what's the old adage, right? It's never as bad as you think it is. It's never as great as you thought it was. And that certainly held true kind of the last couple of days, going back, taking a breath, taking a look. There's some really good stuff on display. But as a totality, not good enough. Not good enough.
Not good enough, especially to be able to beat that team, Nags. And yes. I know there's a lot to it. There's always, in the rewatch, you mentioned it, you're going to feel better and worse about certain things, right?
Exactly.
What you felt in the moment is never fully what you experienced the second time. That being said, I came away from it the second time watching it, and definitely watching the end zone footage and being able to see the disruptiveness of that D-line, I came away feeling really good about Philadelphia. Now, again, maybe that is just my patented positivity viewpoint of how I like to look at the execution on the field, not just the mistakes, because we don't fully know what the process is going to be, right? We don't know exactly what they plan on the timing of Sean Ryan coming off and potentially missing the linebacker in front of him that swoops in and stops the play in the backfield. But you can tell and see when Jalen Carter just splits two guys with a swim move, say, okay, that's a top 10 pick guy, right? That's one of the better players in football. I did come away with it from that vantage point. That doesn't dismiss some mistakes and the continual frustration of beating yourself.
Yes.
I think that was the most,
that's what's so disappointing. Exactly.
Was disappointing that way.
The fact that there's so much talent on this team on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And you certainly saw it on display at times, but yes, the ever-present theme that night was beating themselves. And I think that's why you saw Matt LaFleur start out his post-game presser the way he did, so very clearly frustrated at the fact that they had a game that was very winnable if they could have gotten out of their own way, which they absolutely could not.
Yeah, he didn't go full Brian Kelly, spike the water bottle and slam the table, say, we got to finish one of these games. But they had a lot of times and a lot of chances to put the game away. And even if it's the interception where – I still believe Jordan thought Luke was going to
There's certainly a miscommunication.
There's a little bit of miscommunication. Some would say they're week one situations. Maybe you iron that out in the preseason next time.
Although, hell of a play. Hell of a play by Blankenship.
It's a great play by Blankenship. Right?
You got to tip your cap a little bit.
And that was the part of it, Nags. Like, even when I'm watching Saquon Barkley's touchdown back again, and in real time, you feel like, come on, you know he's coming out of the backfield. But Isaiah McDuffie is a split millisecond away from getting a hand on the football. It's perfectly placed. It's beautifully done by one of the most talented backs in football. And I came back from it saying, yeah, I know the collapse was real from Philadelphia at the end of 23. This seems like a different team in 24. They're coordinated completely different, and they're going to be a problem in the NFC. I believe thoroughly, though, the two teams play again, and I think they're vastly different come the middle of January when they play again in the divisional round.
There you go. See, Billy, keeping it positive, keeping it up. Yeah, going to be in the divisional round. That's what I'm talking about. There we go. Well, you were a Philadelphia believer all offseason. You've been pumping them up as a NFC contender throughout the summer. So,
because they're one of the best
teams.
It's
not a surprise to you.
Well, I'm glad you said it, not me. But, Nags, like, there's a tough spot when you're one of the best, if not the best. And Matt alluded to this yesterday. Mm-hmm. They are one of, if not the best, most well-built teams in the trenches in the NFL. Oh, you're not.
That's the toughest line play the Packers will face probably all season, especially. Yeah,
and it's a good thing to start with. Line.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. What I will say, it's interesting. You mentioned McDuffie. He's a perfect example of a guy where watching it live didn't feel real good about his play. Going back and watching it, he played a hell of a lot better than I thought. And I thought that was kind of a consistent theme going back and breaking down the tape. It was like, yes, there were issues. Yes, there were mistakes. But, man, there was a lot more good than bad. The problem was, again, they just shot themselves in the foot so many times, and they kind of gave the game away in that regard. Yeah. I mean, I can't believe what are we, 7 minutes into this, and we haven't even talked about Jordan Love's injury, which is what you talk about running the gamut of emotions. That night, I got back to the hotel. Man, I started drinking heavily because obviously I didn't drink while working, sir. That's I didn't drink while watching the game because I was working.
Well,
but
and
I got
meeting
back
adoring
to the
fans like Roger Goodell, I saw at the game.
Roger Goodell,
yes,
you know, he's an old fan. He's a big Cheesehead TV fan.
Big Cheesehead TV fan. Yeah, that makes sense.
He goes way back, but yeah. So I got back to the hotel. I'm like, that's it. Season over. There we go. It's done. I thought for sure. Come on, you watched that video. Like, there's no way I looked at that and thought, yep, no, he'll be fine. In a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I was sure it was done.
No.
And like, then, you know, you go through the weekend and the reports start coming out that the ACL is okay. All right. So that's probably not the season. Okay. That's good. That's good. But he's still going to miss probably like 8 weeks or something like that. Oh, and then we get it's an MCL injury. And then, it could be three, six weeks. Soon. And then we got Matt LaFleur into a microphone yesterday saying, well, if he's not cleared this week, Matt, come on now. I love the gamesmanship. That's the gamesmanship, trying to make sure that the Colts have to worry about working on a plan for Jordan Love. And we all know Jordan Love ain't going to play in this game. Come on.
Yeah, because we've never seen a Packers quarterback play with an MCL sprain. I mean, like, we've seen it. I mean, like, now, Nags, I don't believe he plays this week.
No.
It's a non-zero for me. He plays in Tennessee. I'm trending towards firmly believing he plays against Minnesota. Like, as you start outlining the timeline, and again, I understand it's aggressive. I understand it's early. Grade one MCL. Like, it's a difficult spot. It's the left knee, correct me if I'm wrong, right? So it's the drive one through. Yeah. You're probably going to have a lot more twisting there. So there's plenty of it. I've never sprained my MCL. I've never torn my MCL. I'm not an orthopedist. I'm not an athletic trainer.
Well, I'm glad we got that on the record.
I see plenty. And I don't, and I'm not saying anybody is tougher or what. I see a lot of guys play with this at an earlier time frame. Like coming up on Friday night while we were on Packers OT, myself and Drew Olson, all of what we talked about for the first 7 minutes, no one wanted to have the conversation. Nobody wanted to talk about Jeff Hafley's defense first game in, giving up 34 points.
Nope.
Xavier McKinney looking like great money spent, right? Josh Jacobs wearing on people, getting better at the end of the year or at the end of the game. It was.
Yes, sir.
Why on earth do we not have Joe Flacco on our team? Because then he could quarterback us for the rest of the season, right? Why do we not have a better quarterback because our season's over?
Here we go.
And Nags, he walked off the field twice. Like, I don't mean to be brash with it, but mm-hmm. I did assume they weren't going to let him walk off with Josh Jacobs and another staffer off right. the field if it was an ACL. I felt pretty good coming out of it that he was going to play again this year, but now I feel even more.
I don't know, man. We watched Jordy Nelson walk off the field looking just fine. I don't know, dude. That's all mm-hmm. I'm saying. Like, you know, you see it and then you're like, sure. Oh, it's nothing. Yes. And then it's the next morning you wake up to like Rob Domofsky tweeting like, oh, Jordan Love done for the year.
Fear so, the worst.
But yeah, confirming worst Packers fans, worst fears like that. That was fully what I was expecting. But hey, it's not that. And now we get Malik Willis for a game or two.
That's what I'm talking Woo, about. Baby. Fan the flames of Liberty. That is the fight song for the Liberty Flames. And that is the fight song that I hope Packers fans are calling as 3.5-point dogs at Lambeau Field this weekend.
I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. Dogs at Lambeau.
At Lambeau.
Can you dig it? Home dogs. Let's go.
Especially Nags against, and this is where throughout the next couple of weeks, depending on however long Jordan's out, you'll do this, right? Of can you do it? Can you be better here? Would they be 2.5-point dogs if it's everyone apparently's favorite quarterback right now, Ryan Tannehill?
The ghost of Ryan Tannehill needs to come in. I know. Like, that's hilarious to me. Like, did anyone watch Ryan Tannehill the last time he was on an NFL football field? Last couple times?
Yeah. There's a reason why the Titans drafted Malik Willis. Now, did that work out very well? Maybe not.
Boy, he's cooked.
And Nags, the other part of it for the Colts perspective, put up 27 points. No doubt about it. Jonathan Taylor, absolute weapon. Andy Richardson was 9 of 19 in week one. So I understand the gloom and doom will always take over, but there are still a lot of reasons to be rather optimistic going into the home opener this week.
Absolutely. Look, they can win this game. There's zero doubt about it. I think it's going to have to feature a whole lot of Josh Jacobs and a boatload of Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed, by the way, my goodness, what a performance down there in Brazil. Week one, coming out and announcing his presence.
Should have had a hat trick.
Should have, 100%. We're not going to talk about Ron Torbert because I'm trying to have a good day here. But
you don't want to talk about Ron Torbert?
I mean, unless you want me cursing on the radio, I think there's like FCC violations in play here if I start talking about Ron Torbert.
You don't want to talk about the official that was calling and throwing so many flags on Friday night that my man went hoarse in the middle of the third quarter?
Well, did you hear? I loved Chris Long's take on that, and I think he's spot on. Did you hear this on his podcast? He said he kind of reiterated that he had spoken to a couple other people who thought the same thing. It's like, sure. It's very clear. Yeah. Did they lose their voice? He was talking so much. Yes, he was calling a lot of fouls. No, talking through the penalties, all that. That was all there. However, what seemed very clear to Chris was that this was a guy who was in the streets the night before.
He and his
official buddies at the club.
Sure.
And the club is loud. And so you're yelling talking all louder. Night to be heard.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, then you get to your job the next night because you got all day, before the game. You can rest. See, I buy all this because that was me.
Yeah.
I was in the streets the night before, but I didn't have to go on voice back. Exactly. But I didn't have to go on international television the next night. I got to sit up in the press box, drinking water, and just chilling. So I 1,000% believe that.
It's one of the reasons why I love the Green Light Pod from Chris Long, because he's one of the only guys that would be able to throw that out there. So how were the streets? I'm glad you mentioned that you were out in them streets in Brazil on Thursday night.
Let me just say this. The people of Brazil, if you are out there listening on the YouTube channel here, let me just say this. Y'all know how to party.
Let's go. That's what I'm talking about. Those red cups, bags. People were drinking those red cups all pregame long. And I'm like, those are 24 to 30 ounce cups. And I know everybody is filling them things up to the brim.
I got so many gifts from Brazilian Packers fans, including a bottle of very special, I don't know exactly what kind of alcohol, but it's made in the Amazon and it's made for shooting. And it's supposed to be like this really kind of, somewhat rare, but like, the way they talked about it, it sounded really kind of magical, but I'm going to dive into that this weekend.
Is it ayahuasca?
No, not ayahuasca, but it's supposed to be something
in that vein.
In that vein. It sounds like it. So I don't know. I'm ready for it. I'm going to
save some for the combine
taste this weekend. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yeah. you'll be having some. No doubt about it.
Listen, good things once and the bad things twice. I mean, I'm interested to see what exactly that would be. I saw your thank you for the chocolates that you got as a gift.
I
just love that Nagler goes across the globe. And listening to John Kuhn tell the story of when you walked into the bar 2 years ago in London, which, by the way, NFL script writers, what the hell?
I know.
Can we figure out how to make it
that
we don't go overseas and lose our quarterback and watch Saquon Barkley go nuclear?
And take an L? Yeah, no.
We could change that.
Done with that.
But however, Nagler goes overseas and people walk up to you like with frankincense and myrrh as thanking the savior for coming over. I love that. I saw one tweet of God is among us.
Yeah.
Hanging out in the bar. Like that was a beautiful, amazing meetup you guys had.
Billy, there was a very lovely Brazilian Packers fan who started crying. And she said, I can't believe the Packers are here. I can't believe you're here. I can't believe this is happening. Like, I got to tell you, man, you talk about carry the G. You talk about carrying the G. The fans in Brazil absolutely carry the G. It's so impressive.
Dude, that's amazing.
I was blown away. It was great times. Great times.
Too many people, and you being there, you could say yay, nay, or somewhat in between.
Yes, sir.
The overreaction to the stuff around, like that people were saying that it was ridiculously packed. Listen, it's ridiculously packed when you're in New Orleans after a game in the streets.
Oh, you're talking about the surrounding area, right?
Yeah, like the surrounding area, because people were freaking out about everything about it. Yeah.
It's like, look, it wasn't convenient. That's for damn sure. You can tell they literally built this thing out like on the outskirts because they needed a stadium for the World Cup. That's why it was built. That's why it was built where it is built. So yeah, there was nothing convenient about it. It was very inconvenient, but yeah, I don't know. Once I got there, I had a great time.
It seems like
I get it. I understand that it's frustrating as a fan. Like you arrive and you're like, let's party. And then you got to walk up this huge hill and there's a ton of people, but it's a game. Of course there's going to be a ton of people. That's the point of all gathering to watch a game.
Yeah. So sorry. I don't know if people did think that they were just going to pull up and Kroll's West was going to be hanging out there. Exactly. And like, all I got to do is dodge hinterland and I can walk right into the stadium. Yeah, like it's going to be different, but I think, and hearing more and more reaction to it, they'll be back and I'm glad that they will be. I'm hoping that they allow this to be now. I think the NFL is trying and wants to get more into some like benchmark traditions, right? I actually think they like Detroit, Dallas on Thanksgiving to the point where this new Christmas thing, they would like to dial in one team going there.
That's coming.
Every single year. I think they would totally agree. Totally agree. International series to have you go to one or two locations for your home game.
That is your kind
Brazil
of
probably going to be the Packers hub.
You would think, right? Although I did speak to a couple people with the league, you know, somewhat off the record, so I can't say who it was, but sure looks and sounds like not only is Brazil happening again down the road, but they're pushing into other countries.
We going to Dublin or what?
Well, I'm talking about South America.
Oh,
sounds like Argentina's in play.
Oh,
like that could be. There's all sorts of
that could be a lot of fun.
It's gonna happen, man. And I heard you guys talking earlier today at 9 to noon. Armin said it, I believe, and he's absolutely spot on. I'm so sick of everyone complaining about the international games. It's here to stay.
Yeah,
get on board. It ain't going away. It's not leaving. It's part of the gig now.
Kuhn's talked about how much fun it was. Like, there's no and wild. Just you, me, and you know the 300,000, 400,000 people listening.
I don't know who this is. Crazy when everyone
has fun with the story and fun with the game. That it's not that bad on the way back. We learned that as well yesterday. It wasn't that bad on the adjustment back to American time and back into American life into week number two.
Oh, dude, I'm ready. I'm ready for week.
You're geared up. You're fine.
I'm good to go. I mean, I will admit that first day back, whew, baby.
You were feeling a little bit? Okay.
I'm good now.
Was that because of the Brazilian rum, as Armin said on the NicolayLaw.com talk and text line?
Sir, I don't know what you're talking about.
Cacacha?
I'm not a rum drinker. I'll get the bottle during the break and you can take a look.
Okay, there we go. I like that. People are trying to guess what it is.
I just love someone in the chat who doesn't even have a handle. It was like, my wife just asked why I can't be more like Aaron, to which I replied, there's only one Aaron. Yeah.
There is only one Aaron.
It's Aaron Jones, who went out for a touchdown and a bunch of really nice plays for the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's the only Aaron, the one that's on right now on the Pat McAfee show.
Is he on the Pat McAfee show?
Uh-huh. Did you? No, you didn't think that was going to happen? Come on now.
Good for them.
That's an enigma.
Oh, we're going to do a special Netflix movie about Bill Schmidt and his coaching of the offensive line there Friday night.
Come on Friday night, I will say, Nags, and we're getting to a break here, and we're going to get back into what I know a lot of people like, especially in the Green Bay area. Noon kickoffs on Sunday.
Let's go.
Noon kickoffs on Sunday and not NFL action on Friday nights. All right. We need to allow high school football to fully get themselves rolling, and let's get pro football off of Friday nights back onto Sundays.
Down with that.
Noons are coming up big time too. A lot of noon games.
Like, what do we got? Like five or six of them?
Six of the next seven. I think first four home games
are all nooners. Gotta love it.
Uncle Tommy and Sue are gonna love that situation. Gonna love that deal a lot more at Lambeau. I love being back on the air, Nags, and we are going to be back here coming up in a matter of moments. We've talked about it. YouTube chat, open, ready for business. We also have the NicolaiLaw.com talk and text line, open for business, 414-799-1973. The text and talk version will hit both on the other side. Aaron Nagler, Billy Schmidt, Carry the G Radio is back on the game.
Carry the G Radio rolls on. Bill Schmidt, Aaron Nagler holding it down for you on this Tuesday afternoon. No availability today for the Packers, so we won't hear from Matt LaFleur. No updates, as it were, after he left all of Packer Nation dangling yesterday, saying, if Jordan Love isn't cleared, then we'll go with Malik Willis as the starter. He's not going to be cleared. Come on, people.
Yeah, with that attitude. I mean, like, I don't know. I'm not putting it past him. I also nags the I'm old enough crowd. Like, I had one of my best friends has had a list of like the five sayings he would like to be extinct after 2024.
Right.
The I was today years old when I found out, or the XYZ, I'm old enough for. But I am old enough to remember as you run through the gauntlet of different injuries that have happened. You see this happen. You see too many players be so close. And I was doing a radio show at the time when Patrick Mahomes was in his second year of starting. I believe it was fresh off of his first year going to the AFC Championship game. And his knee pops out on a goal line run. I mean, like, you saw the cap slide to the side. Right. And they were playing the Green Bay Packers the next week on Sunday Night Football. Came on to the radio that next day, and I was like, I think Mahomes is playing. Like, I don't know what you guys are seeing. I know he's walking around at practice. He's going through some light jogging. Right, he's going to
do everything in his power to get out there.
Play. Will the team protect him from him? Now, I believe he sat two games, if I'm not mistaken. 17 days ended up being until he ended up playing again. You start going weeks, you're in a dangerous boat. They're looking days. They're looking timelines. They're going quicker than ever. I would not be stunned and won't be if all of a sudden the media contingent is at practice on Thursday and during stretch lines, everyone's like, oh my God,
there he is.
My God, there he is. There he is. He's on the field. He's
practicing. You know what this reminds me of? Billy, this is before your time. Close. Wait, how old were you? Were you even born when the Packers won the Super Bowl in 1996?
I was a year and a half old, born in 1994.
So around that time, and I can't remember if it wasn't that season. I think it was the season before. I think it was 95, but it was around there, right? I will never, ever, 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 ever forget the front page of the Post Crescent in Appleton, not the sports section. Front page.
Right on your doorstep.
A huge photo of Reggie White, who had been injured the week before and had been considered pretty much out for the remainder of the playoffs. And I can't remember exactly which injury, what type of injury it was, but like everyone had assumed that Reggie was done for the foreseeable future. Oh, maybe we'll get him back if they can make a run, etc. And there was a huge headline that said Miracle Man, because what had been considered a really serious injury, suddenly Reggie was going to play that weekend. So that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for Jordan Love, Miracle Man. That's what I need in my life.
Was that miracle against the Cincinnati Bengals when he did that? When December 3rd of 1995, when Reggie White left the game against Cincinnati, was viewed as a possible season-ending hamstring injury.
It is.
But then they called it a miracle.
That's the one.
Wow.
Miracle Man. Humongous, like, you know, the end of World War II, like we won V-Day. Like, that's what it looked like on the front page of the Post Crescent. Humongous. Entire like top fold picture of Reggie White. Like, I'm sure there were other very important things going on in the world that day.
Yeah.
But in Appleton, Wisconsin, the front page was dedicated to Reggie White. Miracle Man.
Since he wouldn't score again, Jeff Black would throw two interceptions in the fourth quarter. Packers would win 24-10. Mike Holmgren was asked after about the situation. He said, quote, "Don't ask me to explain all of this. You really can't explain it. You really can't explain it.
Miracle Man.
You see
Miracle
a man.
Man. Miracle Man.
He's a miracle." And the next miracle, 3-4 years ago, Nags, in Atlanta, Georgia, when Giannis Antetokounmpo has a parallel to the ground flat leg where it looks like every single thing in his knee has to be gone.
That's twice you've sent shivers up my spine today. Lord,
he played in a week.
Got to stop describing these injuries. Like, I get it.
Yeah,
they're bad.
He played in a week, a week and a half, and then scored 30 in game one of the finals. So, like, I understand that's the NBA finals. I get it's week two of the NFL season, right? This becomes the Packers' plan of how they're going to approach it. He's going to be closer than I think people will give it credit for as to when and if he could play.
I feel you. I'll be pleasantly surprised.
That being said, I hope they're announcing the Packers starters on the offensive side this weekend. I said it on 9 to noon today.
Oh.
One offensive starters running. And I'm okay.
From Malik Willis.
I'm okay if number two is last. Let's get that thing fired up as he runs through that tunnel. And let's fan the flames of liberty and get Malik Willis to hit a big.
Now you're getting me all pumped up, but it's real hard, Billy. It's real hard not to remember that run where, remember when they went through like three different backup quarterbacks in like a week?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
when Seneca Wallace ran out of the tunnel and pulled his hamstring.
So yeah. Like Seneca Wallace lasted what, like three plays or something? Mm-hmm. And then we had the great spin move.
Yes, the bad Tolzien spin move.
Tolzien spin move heard throughout eternity. And then they ended up with Matt Flynn. So, you know, and then there was the Brett Hundley stretch, where I remember coming into that game against the Saints, we were all like, it felt like that Dick Vermeil moment, like, we are going to rally around Kurt Warner, and we are going to play good football. Like, that was what I was thinking around Brett Hundley, but none of that materialized.
No, and
like,
only Devontae Adams played good football.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
So,
Regime. Different
coach, different offense,
different play offense. Caller.
I get it.
It is the most important position in all of pro sports. I firmly believe that. I also believe, with two things being true at the same time, when you separate the difference between the elite of the elite play to the middle of the road play, I think the difference between the middle of the road guys is rather small and somewhat insignificant. They're going to make multiple plays during a game that, if going the wrong way and the opponent capitalizes on, will beat you, right? They will make 1 to 2 decisions where they'll probably put the ball in harm's way, run with the ball too loosely, and it gets poked out. The margins are much smaller there than when you're talking about like the third best quarterback to the 14th best quarterback. I think 33rd best quarterback to 44th, 54th best quarterback is somewhat marginal.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And look, it's about the supporting cast on Sunday, right?
Hands
it's
down,
not about Malik Willis coming out and pulling a Superman and being like a superstar. It's about the offensive line doing the work and doing it consistently from the first snap, not waiting until the second half to get the ground game going, right? It's about feeding Jaden Reed and Josh Jacobs and probably Tucker Kraft in the passing game.
I love that.
You know, it's about making the quarterback as comfortable as possible in his first start in Green Bay when he's been in the building for what, 20 days? You know, there's no way you expect him to drop back and spread it out and throw it around the yard 40 times. Like, that is not the game plan. Now, the problem such as it is, of course, Indianapolis knows this and is going to pack the box, so to speak. They're going to have that safety down in a way that they never did against CJ Stroud last weekend, you know, on Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's going to present a different challenge than anything you saw on tape against the Texans. But again, Matt LaFleur, you talk about a different play caller and a different game planner. I think Matt is criminally underrated in that regard. I think he's going to have something for him. And I think it's going to be, you know, at least somewhat more consistent than what we saw against the Eagles. Because we had somebody in the chat earlier. I want to name check here. Someone's asking. I always love this. It's like accountability police are always.
Oh,
are
there
always,
we go. Yes, we need
always
more
among us.
Yes, we need more of the accountability police. Yes.
Kerry Bishop says, "Hey Nags, the pack was not ready. Do you have any criticism of coach, especially since Sam Fran was ready last night and we were not?" Well, first of all, San Francisco has absolutely nothing to do with the Green Bay Packers, so
yeah,
I don't even know what that means. But criticism of coach, okay, fine. They certainly weren't consistent enough. They certainly had plenty of mistakes, but that's execution. As far as the game plan and the approach and what he was asking his guys to do, I don't know, man. It's real hard for me to sit here and go, oh, yeah, LaFleur screwed up. Like, I get that it's frustrating. I get he gets to wear the L because he's the head coach of the team. There's zero doubt about that. But what is the specific criticism? I don't understand this. You've got to criticize the coach. It's like, well, at some point, the coach puts you in positions you are supposed to execute. Like, to me, it's about the lack of execution on Friday night, much more so than anything about the game plan, the preparation, what he was asking players to do. If any of that seemed out of bounds, I'd say so. But I didn't see anything that made me think, oh, man, he really screwed up. He's really asking them to do stuff that they shouldn't be asked to do. Like, not in any way, shape, or form did I feel any of that on Friday.
No, I didn't feel it on Friday. I do understand, though, the frustration when you see San Fran look so good without one of their monstars in McCaffrey. But I'd counter with the Mike and Kyle Shanahan offense with any undrafted free agent running back.
Man, right? They were like, pumping it up so much on the broadcast last night.
Yeah, they pumped that one in, and then they also on the broadcast pumped up where, and this is what I do think from your statement of Matt, is like, I think Kyle kind of revels in this. I think Kyle kind of likes the idea that he's got to try to go win this game and prove that he can with a lesser supporting cast without McCaffrey. If you don't think
also,
that the
by the
ego
way, they're
part
at,
of coaches,
they're at home.
They're at home.
Everybody else is playing on their, like, I don't understand, like, this, oh, that was such an amazing feat. Like, no, I get McCaffrey's a really good player, but it's not like they were, like a cupboard was bare.
How many NFC championship games did they go to before Christian McCaffrey came on board?
That's a great question. I'm not quite sure.
Like two or three. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were pretty damn good before he was on the team.
And so here's the other,
it still works, yeah.
Here's my other thing last night. They keep talking about, like, oh, you know, the pulling running backs off the street and being productive, and that's great, and that has certainly been the, you know, the MO, so to speak, in the Shanahan tree, especially those two, Mike and Kyle. But it sure feels like they felt it necessary to give up a boatload of picks to go get a former top 10 pick at running back to run their offense through. At some point, they understood, okay, this is only going to take us so far.
Yeah, we can do this, but where are we elite? And that's where the changer can be. I do think there's something to Matt, and there's absolutely a amount of time that you can use that bump of, we're going to prove to everybody that we can scheme it up here for 2 to 3 weeks, win us one or two of these games. And this is where you can really make a mark as what kind of coach. How good of a coach truly are you? And how good of an offense and a football team are you? Because when the season immediately comes to an end, seemingly for many fans, as you lose a game like this, and you clearly were boasting yourself up as a Super Bowl contender without a firm, true belief that you were, in my estimation. If it's that quickly flipped to,
oh, we're terrible. We're awful.
The Tennessee
Titans. We're missing the playoffs. Like,
you can't beat the Tennessee Titans. Will Levis you watch Remember the Titans, Nags?
Holy cow. Yes, 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 I have.
Remember when Ronnie Bass is getting told by Denzel Washington about making the pitch, right? Because Rev ain't coming back
make
in the game.
I can't make that pitch.
I can't make that pitch. It's 3 yards. Will Levis said, hold my mayonnaise and coffee. I'm going to make a 30-yard pitch, and I'm going to see it happen, and then I'm going to react as if, you know, the girl that I've been sliding in her DMs just finally posted that she is in a relationship. Like, what? How did it happen?
I was watching that game live when Levis like tossed it out there. It really felt like my soul left my body. Like, and that's not even my team.
I couldn't believe it.
Obviously, I want the Bears to lose. They're on their way to doing just that. And then Will Levis is like, you know what? Take the W. Just it was amazing. Take the W. Why? We don't need this.
I'd love to know what was going through his head of like, I'm going to throw this to the water cooler.
Dang it, no. Tyreek Stevenson, you son of a.
There he is. I feel bad now because we're talking a lot of not Packer stuff, and we've got a lot of good questions here on the chat. RTR about what's the word on Lloyd. Cooper, does he get more time? That's
what I'd like to hear, yes.
We'll get down into some nitty-gritty after this break, but don't you fret. We'll be talking green and gold for another, hour and a half?
You better believe it.
A long way to go, people. We'll talk some Packers on the flip side here. Billy Schmidt, Aaron Nagler, 97.3 The Game. It's Carry the G Radio. Carry the G Radio rolls on. After a week one loss, Packers looking to bounce back with a big week two victory over the Indianapolis Colts. Quarterbacked by, let's say it, a incredibly talented, potentially game-changing weapon at quarterback in Anthony Richardson. Billy, this kid, holy Toledo. Now, I understand there are accuracy issues, and he's got a lot to work on. But I'm telling you, that touchdown pass, and I mean, the 65-yarder, that's going to be at the end of the year kind of top 10 throws of the season highlight, and we're in week one. Like, that is one of the most incredible, best throws that you will see in the NFL this season. And that's Madden style. My guy can beat the safety.
NFL blitz style, yeah.
Yeah. That just doesn't happen in most NFL games. And if they try it, if anyone else tries it, they usually get picked.
Yeah, 100%, and it's a punt.
Right.
Next Gen Stats, one of the NFL's brain children, they outlined the throw chart.
Oh, yeah.
The throw can't even be charted. Like, it doesn't even go that far for where the ball ends up. That's the funniest part of it.
It's a sci-fi movie where it's left our ability to track. It is entered
somewhere in the ether now.
Another universe in a multiverse where we do not exist. That's where that throw went.
Yeah, like a Russell Branyan home run back in the day for the Brewers, where it's just like, where on earth is that thing going to land? Or apparently Mickey Mantle home runs, because he hit him like 500 feet. No one else has ever come close. But he is a uniquely talented individual.
Very, very talented. And
placed a lot of wagers and watched a lot of him at Florida. So I do still have a lot of scars that way, similar to how for when Bo Nix was coming out of the draft this year, Nags, and you and I are at the combine, and everyone's like, this Bo Nix cat can play. This Bo Nix kid is really good. I'm like, same guy that was at Auburn?
Okay.
Really?
Okay, that's really a word. I'm not sure we're using the words the same way, but okay, yeah, sure. That's
different dictionary. But like Richardson, you hit on it right exactly it. The frame, the talent, the ability is so off the charts.
All
the make regular plays is not always there.
Not there yet. But he needs to play. That's the other thing. He's barely played.
He's got to play, and he's got to stay healthy. I'm interested to see if he can do that. But also, if they run him the way that they probably should, and should run him along with Jonathan Taylor, the 65-yard throws are something I'll worry about in another dimension. He's 6'6", 255 pounds, and he will run through a Joker's face and feel really, really good about it. So that, to me, is the bigger part for Sunday that I'm worried about than him throwing some more punts to the north end zone.
It's interesting too, because this is something you and I talked about on Carry the G Radio, the podcast, this offseason, which, by the way, you can find Billy and I on wherever you get your podcast.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Most likely the iHeart Radio app. You know, you get
the best place to get podcasts.
That's where most people are probably getting their podcasts, because it's the best app in the world to listen to anything on earth.
If you support, and this was just brand new, Nags, company statement, if you support World Peace, you get your podcast from the iHeartRadio app. I don't know exactly where that came from.
That makes all the sense in the world to me.
So apparently you don't want World Peace, you don't go to the iHeartRadio app, but that's the only place to get podcasts.
Yeah, pretty obvious, right? Yeah. But as I was saying, this is what we talked about heading into this game. The fact that, you know, all offseason we heard about, you know, get upfield. explode through the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna stop the run on the way to the quarterback. Like this Ooh. Was, we're gonna get TFLs, we're gonna get sacks, etc. And then we get out there against the Eagles in Brazil, and it's not quite that. It was very much a, and we, you know, heard from Kenny Clark in the locker room after the game regarding the approach against Jalen Hurts, who ran all over them a couple years ago. They were very cognizant of trying to keep him in a pocket and not mm-hmm. let him escape and not let him, you know, destroy the defense with his legs. I got to suspect, to your point here and exactly what you're talking about, I got to suspect that's going to be a pretty similar approach on Sunday in Lambeau. Because you don't want him getting outside the pocket. You don't want, especially if you're playing man coverage, which I think they won't play a lot of yet again. Mm-hmm. You mentioned this when we were heading into the Eagles game. Got to think there's going to be a little bit more zone. So you have eyes on the quarterback. So if and when he does try and escape the pocket, you got guys being able to rally and come downhill. Much like we saw with Keyshawn Nixon on that big sack towards the end of the first half. Mm-hmm. What a great play by Keyshawn. The way he triggered from deep and they got covered ground. And I don't think... I mean, it seemed pretty clear that Jalen Hurts had no clue that Nixon could cover that much ground so quickly.
Like, yeah, and it was the only time
it was in his lap.
And the only time that Jalen didn't pretty much perfectly execute while blitzed, right? Yep. While pressured. And once Keyshawn was there, President Nixon was ready to go. Now, if that was, we could just do the same thing on securing those pick sixes.
Off
the charts. We're going to be really so good.
See,
I'm just throwing it in there. It's a part of it because
it's a game changing play.
You're going to get more of those opportunities this weekend.
Yeah.
You're going to get more of those opportunities this weekend. I'm pretty confident in saying that. I also think that you're going to get a quarterback who is not nearly prepared as good as Jalen Hurts was against the blitz. I just don't see you getting the same production from Anthony Richardson. Like,
no,
allow yourself to, as you mentioned, play somewhat similar. Make sure you're not over pursuing. Don't have too much man and don't allow him to run 55 yards and silence the Lambeau crowd.
Right.
But I think you're going to be able to get home a little bit more with some more success. Well, I don't think he's throwing into the blitz as well as Hurts did.
And you bring up a good point because that was one thing that going back and watching it that I didn't appreciate live was you definitely saw it. I think Hurts and the Eagles clearly were ready for heavy pressure because of all their issues
at the end of
last season. But Halfley called 5 slot blitzes. They called 13 all last season. That tells you, right? As far as how you're utilizing personnel, trying to bring pressure from different areas, trying to keep the quarterback on his toes, there was some of that. It's not like they were sitting back all night. You know? And here's the other thing. I know people, again, the play style is what I think most people were hoping would be a lot different. I saw a lot of similar play style, for being honest. But, you know, for all the doom and gloom, they gave up 34 points, etc. But, man, the Eagles were 4 of 14 on third down.
Yes.
That's winning football.
You did make them work. Yeah,
that's winning football. You just got to close the deal. Again, it's the inconsistencies that kill you. But, man, they were doing good work for much of the night.
Yeah, and
they just got to close the deal. Got to be consistent.
Got to be able to close. Got to be able to finish. Got to be able to finish drives, right? Like, as much as we've talked about, and we will, Edrin Cooper, that statement from RTR, we got to get into in hour number 2.
Yes, sir.
I got to imagine he's seeing the field quite a bit more as we continue. But you got to be able to finish in the red zone. And albeit a slip in the back of the end zone, I'm glad we've gone an hour without talking about the field conditions. So hopefully we're done with that being the problem for why apparently they lost the game.
Yeah.
But you gotta be able to finish in the red
field
zone
that both teams were playing on. That one,
both teams played on. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That last I checked, for all the people that were saying how on earth can they send NFL players here, only one injury that I can really remember, and not as many carts being needed as there would be on turf. But listen, that's for another show.
Neither here nor there. Yeah.
Hour 2 on the other side. We will talk more about coming up with what we saw from Edrin Cooper. Somebody asked him about Marshawn Lloyd. We'll get into him as well. And Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark, Lucas Van Ness, whoever else you had bigger questions about, ask Aaron Nagler on the NickLaylaw.com talking text line, 414-799-1973. YouTube chat buzzing, and we're hitting it on the other side. That's Nags. I'm Billy. It's Carry the G Radio. It's 97.3 The Game. The Game Network. The iHeartRadio app, and streaming live wherever you're watching Cheesehead TV. Back after this on The Game.
This is Carry the G, Everything Packers.
Although I will say, shout out to Brett Favre for retweeting Cheesehead TV the other day. The audience has grown from 3 to about 6 or 7.
Not about what you're capable of, it's about what you're willing to do.
Young Aaron Nagler have wanted a Raven to ride his bike.
100%, absolutely. But I will say, props to Armour, because he owns it, right? He's a diehard, and he is, like, completely in his feelings for why he doesn't want a Raven touching his bike.
Now, please welcome from Cheesehead TV, Aaron Nagler and Bill Schmidt.
Care of the G Radio Hour 2 rolling on. That's a nice new cut up there. I appreciate the little shout outs to Care of the G Radio, the podcast. Look at that.
That's what I'm talking about. Listen, that's where this continues. That's where it lives. Like, people think, and now, Nags, I don't know, you had educators in your life growing up, so you maybe didn't have this situation where I thought teachers lived at school until I was in, like, third or fourth grade, and I saw one of my teachers out at, like, Walmart.
Right.
Like, what are you doing here? Like, actually live a normal life. You actually go places outside of – so, like, we do outside of the football season and outside of the noon to two during football season. Man, we're talking about it. We're carrying the G. We're chatting Packers football all year long, and I am glad that the powers that be – gave us that little shout out. And hey, how about you shout out Brett Favre? Shout out Cheesehead TV. That's what I'm talking about, Brett.
That's a lot of shout outs. All sorts of
stuff. And none of them are for free.
Inception of shout outs. I like it. I like it. Hey, you know what? If nothing else, we are exhaustive in our coverage of the green and gold here at Carry the G Radio. That's for one. Yeah. So do we have a breaking news siren sound drop? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Green Bay Packers are signing 6'6", 268-pound tight end Johnny Lumpkin to the practice squad, according to Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Hey, listen, Billy. Let me tell you, when Lumpkin gets called up, like, in mid-November and balls out, people are going to remember where they heard it. They heard it here first on Care of the G Radio.
Yeah, and don't put a B in front of that name. Johnny Lumpkin, I am very, very excited for what he could potentially do as a member of the Packers practice squad.
An undrafted free agent who signed with New England in 2023. He has yet to appear in a regular season game.
I mean, that is on the all-name team. That's after they worked out Racy McMath earlier on, which, I mean, like, again, if you're talking about the best names in sports,
come on,
that's in the conversation.
How do you beat Johnny Lumpkin? You can't.
Wow.
You cannot. So anyway, that's breaking news.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Montreal
Sentinel letting you
know.
Come
on, Johnny.
Hey, Billy, it takes everyone.
We need all 70.
All 11. It takes all 70 throughout the season.
We need 70.
That's what I'm talking. Johnny Lumpkin is now on the squad.
Hey, Johnny Lumpkin, as Scott Van Pelt would say, once he's in the game, he's going to sign up for 60. All right, we're signing up for 60 minutes. We are not leaving anything on, no stone unturned in our pursuit for the fifth Lombardi Trophy. I love it. Let's go, Johnny. Come on, Lumpkin.
I will say, all right, so we've had a number of questions on the
took our lumps. Now we're getting to the pumpkins of October.
We're going to get down to the nitty gritty here. Someone asking about Edgerrin Cooper, and are we going to see more of him? Hell yes. There's going to be more Edgerrin Cooper starting on Sunday. I mean, Matt LaFleur made that plain yesterday in his press conference that we absolutely would see him a lot more going forward. And it's funny because that's one of the instances where, you know, we've talked a lot so far in this program about, it's never as bad as you think, right? And the flip side of that is always, it's never as good as you think it is. But sure. I will say, I literally asked Matt LaFleur after the game about Edgerrin Cooper because he looked so good, and going back and watching it, he was that good.
Yeah, felt now, like he
sure,
was that
there,
good.
There were absolutely rookie moments, and there will be more in the future. But holy Toledo, Billy, for a kid who did not play in the preseason, basically missed almost all of camp, to go out there and play as many snaps as he did and play as well and pop. I mean, holy cow. That's a promising player right there.
It is. And Nags, one of the reasons why, and now I'm not going to like thumb my chest and, you know, talk about how grand and genius we are,
I'll do that.
You mentioned how exhaustive our coverage was and is of the Green Bay Packers year round. When John Kuhn and I were on the perch at Rainichke Field for each and every public practice, Cooper wasn't practicing. However, I tried to make a mention of it every time I could that once he would be done Once he'd be done with the rehab group inside, and when you were there, you probably saw the exact same thing. My man is in the end zone, 40, 50 yards away from the action as they're running a team period with his helmet on, going through his first initial steps, right? Trying to do anything he could with an injury.
In his body.
To do what I can to know this is my first step. This is where I'm going. This would be where my read is. This is my second read. I got to make sure, okay, I'm curled flat here. And so like going through your process, that's high level stuff. That's heady stuff for a 21, 22 year old to think I can just go in, do this. And then once I get my opportunity, I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to make sure that I take advantage of the opportunity because it's a tough business for these backups in this NFL where your biggest opportunity is going to come in a week where I had zero prep, no reps over the last 6 months. And I can't remember if it was before leaving for Brazil or after when Matt LaFleur said, if you have a Green Bay Packers uniform on,
right,
you are preparing as if you are going to go play a football game. You may
That's
not.
That's the mentality.
Edgerrin Cooper has been planning to get into a game and make his mark since he went down with that injury. So I was extremely happy just from a personal side for the young man to be able to let that practice go onto the field and take advantage of it. And Nags, not let any of those reps, those mental reps, be for naught in your most important training camp of your career.
I mean, zero doubt about it. And you know, to the question of, are we going to see more of him? I think there's zero doubt. Although I will say, I thought, and we talked about this earlier, I thought McDuffie was better than it appeared or it felt in live action. But that said, you got to think more Cooper probably does mean a little less McDuffie. That would be my suspicion.
Maybe a little less McDuffie. Maybe they find some ways to, maybe it's not full 4-2-5, right? Maybe you see some variations of 3-3-5 in there as well. And now Wisconsin Badger fans are like, absolutely not. None of that nonsense.
Not at all. Here.
But I think you're going to find creative ways to get him on the field because his speed jumps off the page wherever you're lining him up.
I'm glad you brought up creative ways to get talented guys on the field because I'll tell you what, Billy.
Isn't that your job?
I was very disappointed that Evan Williams did not get a single snap from scrimmage.
That was tough.
We went through this whole camp. That guy jumped off the field, both practice and preseason, every single time he stepped on it. And we get down to Brazil, and he doesn't play. Not one snap. You don't have a package for the kid? That blew my mind. That I
was
not
pretty surprising. And that was where I did wonder if the idea was what I kind of thought Anthony Johnson Jr. we had talked about in training camp was that's Isaiah McDuffie's Xavier McKinney's backup.
Yep.
That wasn't what Evan Williams was doing all at camp. So that part of it didn't add up to me on why he wasn't able to see the field. And hey, maybe this is you're doing it at right guard. You're probably
rotating at right guard, but we can't rotate at safety across from McKinney. Come on,
start moving some of that. But Javon Bullard, though, all right. Also,
Bullard had a good game. I'm not taking anything away from Bullard.
Did look good.
I'm not taking anything away from the kid. Get my guy Evan on the field, man. He's too good to be sitting on the bench.
Well, listen, the Green Bay Packers have way too many talented players, and it's one. I mean, that's a major.
You talk about champagne problems.
Okay. It's a good champagne problem to have. It also is one of the reasons why, Nags, I am so far from punting on week two in the home opener. In this league where where you can watch on a week in and week out basis, a 7-8 point dog go on the road into what is supposed to be one of the most hostile environments in football and get a road win in their head coach's first game. And something called Jacoby Brissett is their starting quarterback where nobody would have had him. He's starting for an NFL team in week one of the 2024 NFL season. Anything can happen in this league, but you need to have some more special performances on the defensive side. And one of which has to be from your top two players, right? Like we talked about a lot of auxiliary guys, but Rashawn Gary and Jair Alexander are going to also have to continue what they started with. Now, there were a lot of people that were frustrated on Jair's phantom holding call on Devontae Smith. Getting beat by one of the best receivers in football.
You're trying to do it again. You're trying to get me to talk about Ron Torbert, and I won't do it. I won't rise to the bait, Billy.
I was so close.
It will not happen. I will talk about Jair Alexander's disappointing performance, though.
Mm-hmm. Talk about
it. I understand. Like, A.J. Brown's a hell of a player, right? Hell of a player. But you're supposed to be a hell of a player, too.
Mm-hmm.
When you finally get Hafley to call a major pressure, and you know, you see Hurts making adjustments at the line of scrimmage, he's going to block it up. They're going to have one more than they can block. That's on the quarterback to get the ball out of his hands quickly. How are you not squatting on that route on Brown outside the hash marks? And then when he completes it, you're out of position and he rumbles for a big gain on third down where you should be off the field. Yeah. That is what you are there to do. That is why they are paying you the way they are paying you. You're one of the top corners in the game. I mean, forget the play where he gets beat for the touchdown. It happens.
That's a great play
by Brown. That I just tipped my cap.
Yeah.
But, man, there are so many other plays where it's like, come on, Jair.
Yeah, and I'm glad you highlighted that one because immediately people are like, well, you got to get in down in the end zone. Okay, sure. I understand that. However, he ran all the way around, and if somebody puts a body on Devontae Smith.
Smith, right.
He's running. He is running. So I get the selfish nature of that where some people can be frustrated with it.
Billy,
a touchdown for sure. That's the one right there.
I love that play. Like, it's so dumb, but it's so fun. And it's Jair with visions in his head of going 99 yards for a touchdown. And the point where I started literally laughing out loud, you can ask Ryan Wood. This is true. He's sitting right next to me in the press area. I guffawed at he's taking it out, right? And then he literally points for someone to make a block.
To block
completely
her.
Completely oblivious to the fact that there's a dude right behind him.
He's like, this guy's not catching
me. At some point, you just have to laugh. It was just funny.
The irrational confidence is just too good to not respect.
I love it. Exactly. I'm down with it.
And that's the part you hope doesn't change, while being able to add in the heady nature, be able to know where this guy is going, what exactly they are going to want to do, and just have a pure understanding as to what could get me beat in the quickest fashion here. And once you're there, let's make sure that I'm in position. If he is going to get this thing, that I get him on the ground. Like, there are moments there. And for them to be the best version of this Jeff Hafley defense, their best two players are going to have to be stars. And maybe just a little left to be desired here on that, because there are still big play potentials.
I tweeted this out the morning after the game after I got a chance to rewatch it.
Mm-hmm.
Or after my first rewatch, it might have been 2 days after because of travel or whatever. But that, to me, was the biggest takeaway from this game on both sides of the ball. As far as you look at their, I mean, just look at the salary cap numbers, right? Look at the guys being paid or who are counting more than $10 million a year on the cap, right? Of those guys, I think Elgton Jenkins is the one dude who could say, yeah, I had a really good game. If you're talking Kenny Clark, if you're talking Jair Alexander, you're talking Rashawn Gary, I don't think any of them are sitting there going, yeah, I had a really good game. That doesn't mean they didn't make good plays. It doesn't mean that they weren't, you know, really good for stretches or what have you. But, man, these are supposed to be your star players. I understand the Eagles are really good. Well, you're supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
That's why they're paying you this, you know? They need those star players to play like stars.
Yeah, and it can't just take Lane Johnson stopping on a pass rush for you to get home and get yourself the one tackle and sack.
I'll take it.
Oh, I'm down when Lane Johnson stops playing. I'm down with that because it's only going to happen one or two times. And that is part of this. Like, as we are, you know, poking through each and every lack of stud performance, I'm not going to say poor because,
it's not poor. There. Exactly. It's not a poor performance.
Two picks, Nags. What was it, seven all year last year? So, like,
seven on the season last year.
Good reason to be excited 17, and optimistic.
Not seven. Seven.
Oh, 17.
Seven. Seven. I think you're right.
Yeah, that was seven. I'm conflating.
Seven.
Listen, I'm also in for inflation of the stats as long as we can make sure that these get even better in 2024, even if we inflate 2023. You're going to be able to. If you think that you have the caliber of players that in the preseason you anticipated and Packer fans believed was one of the best teams in the NFC, you're going to run into teams like that one on the other side. And Philadelphia, for all that we know, we didn't know a whole lot. Like, we knew some of the players, we knew the headliners, we knew they were super talented, but with two new coordinators and everything, it was hard to know. I'm going to give them somewhat of passes, maybe a little bit too generous, but
a little grace,
because that is a team coming in once again in January, which I firmly believe these two teams are playing again in January, chance to maybe go to February. They're both going to be very, very different come that time. You're going to have a lot more understanding, and they're not going to
creep are anymore. In September is never who you are in late November.
Yeah.
That's the NFL. And I'd much rather look like this now and look like they looked at the end of last year come pushing into December. Now, that doesn't just happen. Mm-hmm. You've got to work at it, and you've got to make it happen. But I would much prefer – I mean, there are so many, oh, we won the Super Bowl in September kind of takes, right? Especially from fans of teams that are doing well early in the season. It's like, none of that means anything. Like, yes, you want to get wins and you want to pile them up and you want to have a good record and you want to position yourself playoff wise. All of that is understandable, but man, it doesn't mean a hill of beans. And you don't have to look much further than the Philadelphia Eagles last year, who went out 10-1 to start the season and flamed out in Tampa in the playoffs. You know, I would much rather be the Packers of last year. Now, again, you got to do it. You got to make the work. You got to put in that work. You got to improve week to week. And that's what I'm most curious to see Sunday against the Colts is some of the, especially the pre-snap stuff, but some of the procedural stuff where they really shot themselves in the foot. Can that be out the door now? Can that be out of the system?
Let's figure that out.
Let's stop beating ourselves. We're too good of a freaking football team to look that kind of ridiculous. And some of it was ridiculous. And I understand all the mitigating circumstances. I understand the Ron Torberts of the world are going to happen. I understand the field was not up to snuff. Was not up to snuff for both teams, by the way.
But was,
like, those are things that you've had to deal with. Both teams have to deal with. Stop killing yourself. Stop beating yourself. Too good a team to be doing that. And look, people might point to, well, look, they're the youngest team in the NFL again. They most certainly are. But it ain't like they didn't put pelts on the wall last year.
Correct.
Not like they are just playing their first NFL games.
Yeah, they had you learned enough lessons from a year ago and should have at least enough in your repertoire to be able to hold yourself to a little bit different standard, right? Keep yourself above water in that sense. And I like these couple on the YouTube chat here. Ain't easy being cheesy. What about it? This is how Matt LaFleur finally wins coach of the year. Takes the Packers to the Super Bowl after missing Love for the beginning of the season. Come on now, cheesy.
I'm down with it. I'm down
what
with
about,
it.
What about nice guy
Rick?
Eric. 21? No, nice guy Eric 21. There you go, Eric. Sorry for the disrespect. Hot take. Love comes back in 2 weeks, wins 12 games in a row.
Well, he wouldn't. The Green Bay Packers would, because wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. But I like where your head's at. Come on. I'm down with it.
We all know that they are. We all know that they are a quarterback stat.
Did you see that Bears win on Sunday?
Yeah.
Is that a quarterback win?
It's the first time
your man with a 55 rating. Did he win that game?
Can you tell me how he had a 55 rating? Like, I don't understand. I don't know the metrics of it.
Like
I do
ACT
know this.
Where you get like a certain amount for just signing your name.
Yeah. And then apparently you can get a 7 on the science portion just because you fall asleep and guess. Like, I don't. I didn't think you could get that low. Apparently
I feel like the deep hand of experience raising itself right here. Billy.
Who said that? No, like. I don't know. But but for that situation and the one in Chicago that you did mention,
What you got?
That's the first time the number one overall pick quarterback has won since David Carr.
Like their first game, right?
Their first game.
Their first game in the league.
Because I think that's the only one David Carr won in his rookie year was maybe the first game.
That his team won. He didn't win it. Quarterbacks don't win. Teams do.
Yeah. Okay. You keep telling yourself that former quarterback.
I don't have to tell you anything.
Come on.
That's just facts.
This guy is a quarterback and he's trying to just be too nice of a teammate. All right. Absolutely. We already know.
Takes all 11.
When the Terrors were getting victories, right, Terrors?
Terrors, yeah. Apples yeah. And Terrors. Go West. Yeah,
it was because of that young quarterback that was not only dynamite running that triple option, but also running, you know, for the lead role in, you know, State Fair. Because State Fair is a great State Fair. Don't miss it. Don't even be late.
I'll never forget. We ran a dagger concept and I hit the dude like doing the deep cross, and it literally, like, he didn't look for the ball, Billy, and I had to yell the kid's name. I can't remember his name right now, but I yelled his name as the ball. I let it go, and I saw him crossing, and he wasn't looking, and I yelled, well, let's say it's Sam. I was like, Sam! And he literally turns his head, and the ball lodges in his face mask. True story.
Jeez. Wow, you were pristinely accurate.
Right in his face mask.
It's remarkable that you didn't go to the league. Top part.
It's incredible, dude.
It's incredible you didn't go
Great
to the league.
Play.
You know, what's the best
play? I can throw a football over the mountains, Billy.
Listen, Nags and I are at the 97.3 The Game Packers cookout that we ended up having. And most importantly, really when Hunter ended up just manning the grill and cooking everybody dinner. There's a football right there. Nags goes, what are we doing? Let's go throw this pigskin around.
Let's go throw it around.
I could see the skill at that exact moment. I think people are seeing this radio skill that you and I are putting here together. Not to say anything against Mike Heller's radio skill, which will be back tomorrow. Yep. Mike Heller will be back tomorrow. Carry the G Radio is back right after this. That's Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV. I'm Billy Schmid, 97.3 The Game. And he did get the bottle.
Oh, I got all the description for you on the flip side.
All right. I'm excited for that. That's a big league tease and more Packers Colts conversation on the other side.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life.
Electric word, life. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called Jordan Love's injury problem. It's a never-ending world of speculation, trepidation, problemation. No, that's not a word. You know what I mean. Billy.
Oh, damn. You were so good. I'm sorry. I tried to throw angst in there. I tried to help you out. I screwed the pooch. I ruined the entire thing. I apologize.
You were fine. No, I just messed it up.
I'm sorry.
I was trying to think of another Asian ending word, but messed it up. But yeah, look, hey, Green Bay Packers, Indianapolis Colts, home opener, tons of alumni most likely going to be in the house. It's the best vibe in football. Packers home opener is great. And can I just say, 6 years running, can we finally get one of these on week one next season? I'm sick and tired. And tired always follows sick. Sick and tired going on the road in week one.
Yeah.
Home cooking to kick off the season just for once. Matt LaFleur doesn't have to get into whatever stud threads he has and get on a plane and go someplace else. Like, can we just open in Lambeau for once?
And maybe open against the Chicago Bears, first game of the year.
I got my gripe out there.
No, it works out. I think it could be the easiest thing for it to open up the NFL season on a Thursday night. I'd like to be doing that at Lambeau Field here sooner rather than later. But I'm with you. The home opener just doesn't hit the same when it's not the same the first game of the year. Like the holiday that is the home opener, which is really opening day for baseball here in the city of Milwaukee. Yeah. It's not the same when they're already 2-1 coming in here today. It's like, no. Those games actually didn't happen. This one happens here.
This is the real thing.
This is the real one.
This is when it counts. This is what matters right here, right now. And hey, I'm excited just to hear all the vibes and hear people from the home opener, from Lambeau on Sunday, noon kickoff. It's just the way football was meant to be. Like, there's no way, no matter how international they get, no matter how many streaming services they put it on, no matter how different things are going forward than what has been, home games at noon at Lambeau Field, I mean, that is the way it should be. That is,
yeah, it is good for the soul.
Pristine.
Yeah, it is good chicken soup for the soul to be able to know that this game's going to be at noon. Sun is going to be shining. It's going to be bright and beaming throughout. And the other part of it is, Nags, that the tailgates can start right after service on Sunday morning.
Let's
right?
go.
Like, I don't like the fact where you're sitting
right
there saying,
from church.
Do we wait here now? All right, we got like an hour before we generally would start tailgating. Is dad going to have a Bloody Mary? Maybe, you know, is mom maybe going to give you a side eye because of it? Now, no, there's no time to waste. Nope. Get back to my place. Get our gear on. Maybe you wear your good Packers jersey to church.
Somebody might wear the gear to church. Party. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is Wisconsin.
Packers 2010 Super Bowl run, Nags. I had just gotten gifted a Packers tie. Now, I don't exactly know why they thought high school kid needs a Packers tie.
Does every high school kid need a Packers
tie? Figure out how to be more professional, kid. Absolutely. I think that's what it really was. And every single week to church at that point, your boy busted out the same outfit because I needed to get the good juju flying, and it was that Packers tie. Crazy enough, they go on a run and win the championship. So I think I might have to bust that thing out now because it is 14 years since.
I was going to say, where is the Packers tie now?
It's in the closet.
Well, yeah, so you need to bust it out. I think that needs to be the new game day tradition. No wonder we haven't gone to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm sorry. All these years. It's rather selfish of me to not be busting that thing back out.
I mean, in your part of the gig now, like you do Packers OT, you should be looking professional. You should be rocking a Packers tie.
Probably would be a good idea, better than the golf shirt, you know, and to add in some flavor to it. I don't look great in ties because my neck is so big. However, right. Just for the program, listen, I actually will wear the Packers tie next week on Carry the G. Now, I can't promise it's going to be accompanied by a dress shirt.
That's fine.
But
that's
the Packers tie will make an appearance next week.
You could roll like Farley did on SNL, you know, just the tie. That's fine.
All right. Here we
That'll
go.
That'll attract some YouTube views.
I'll even take my Where's the Beef t-shirt off. That would attract some YouTube listeners or YouTube viewers and or viewers that would think that we would be on a different subscription platform. But
no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But speaking of gifts, I did like I showed right before we went to the.
Yes.
This is what I was given by a fan in Brazil. Meio Gorato is the name. I'm sure I'm destroying that. But here is the description, Billy. So you're ready for this.
Okay.
Renowned for its tongue-tingling effect.
Whoa.
This is a masterpiece crafted in Brazil, infused with the unique Amazonian jambu flower. This spirit delivers an indescribable sensation, creating a delightful tremor on the taste buds. With an unmistakable and bold flavor, it introduces new dimensions to your palate, offering a euphoric tasting experience. Just one sip, and the numbing sensation gracefully envelops your lips, tongue, and palate, leaving you enchanted. That's the description, Billy.
God, whoever was writing that was absolutely in their bag. I mean, that the use of adjectives is just impeccable through that entire write-up.
Here's the best part, right at the end. So you read all that, right?
Experience.
And then right at the end.
Give me some.
Alcohol content, 38%.
Just so you know, the ABV is decently.
Oh my goodness! So I'm thinking watch parties this year. I do a shot for every touchdown. That's what I'm thinking.
Ooh, okay.
This is what I'm thinking.
That plays. I like that deal. Yeah, okay,
that's where I'm going.
Shot for touchdowns, and more importantly, I'm glad to know. Just no issues, just right there, the bag. There's no issues on the customs deal coming up from South America.
Sir, I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Statute of limitations are up. Don't worry about it.
Home. I don't know how it got here.
Randomly got here. Genius.
Somebody clearly just sent it to me. Obviously. I'm glad you brought that up because there is that moment at JFK where I'm reading like, all the signs. They're like, you cannot bring anything and don't do anything. You have to declare and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm just waiting for my bag that has all the stuff I'm not supposed to bring in. Can I just get this out of here, please?
All the chocolates and
chocolates, they brought me. All the gifts. Like,
well, probably better than that, other than the carry-on bag, where they just bombard you with the statements of you can't drink your own alcohol. You can bring it. You just can't drink it. It's like, okay.
I saw
it, dude. So hold on. So walk up to my grill burgers, and then just not eat them? Come on. That's not
what I mean. When I was coming back from London, I saw a guy who had a bottle, like a really nice whiskey that he was trying to bring back to America, and it got taken away from him. Like, because he didn't have time to get back and put it back in his carry or his main bag underneath. Like, he was trying. I guess he said he forgot it, that it was in there, tried to play that off.
Yeah,
man, the grin on the dude's face
that was keeping
confiscated it. Mm-hmm. Man, he did him dirty. That's dirty, man. That is just dirty.
I don't know where this is gonna go.
I don't know what this is. Well, you can't take it with you, but I'll make sure it's taken care of.
We're gonna have to supervise this contraband. I mean, it was put that on the upper shelf. Yeah. It's like on How I Met Your Mother, where they're sorting through all the food at the food bank, and like, oh. Yeah, put that one in my bag.
No, I'll put that over here.
Hold on, are we feeding the hungry? Yeah, and I'm starving. Like, my man was like, wait a second. Hold on. I'm thirsty. I'm going to have to see some of that. I'm going to have to use that really quickly. RTR, you were becoming quickly one of my favorites on the YouTube chat here. Nags, you want to tell him?
What's he got to
you want
to
tell RTR who said gold package got all the divisional games?
Oh, here we go. Atrocity?
RTR, are you really going to
gold package? We are back, baby.
Really going to start this right now. When the division of the fan base is the last thing we need on a time to unify and dominate the NFL, we're going to try to fracture away unity at the pure backbone of this fan base. Let's not do that, RTR. Let's stop with the hatred. We're green and gold. Green and
gold.
Not green or gold. It's green and gold.
It is green and gold. I can confirm
all that. All our Packers green fans and all gold. Will be there cheering on the Green Bay Packers as they beat all of those division foes. Atrocity. So
the first time you guys are in attendance is September 29th against the Minnesota Vikings. So that is the test. Big one. That is the test, right?
Yeah. Come on.
Do the gold package folk show out for that Vikings game? That's it. Because if you guys don't, then we're going to ridicule you all year. It doesn't matter what happens from then on.
Like, what do you mean?
The other, sure, the Lions game, the Bears game, none of that's going to matter. If you don't absolutely show out against the Vikings, like, I'm talking insane levels of noise, rocking the stadium, not doing the wave when the Packers are on offense, all the things.
You know what happens this Sunday?
All the things.
Let me know what happens this Sunday. Oh, all the levels of sitting on our hands and making sure that people aren't standing on second down happens.
Dog, it's a home opener. They're going to be into it.
Okay.
What's funny though? I don't think
bring that same energy for the Arizona game then, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's make sure I will call it as it happens. And if people are lackluster at Lambeau on Sunday for a home opener, you best believe I will let people know about it.
Yeah, you will, because you care.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to bring it. It was funny though. I was going back and watching the home opener from last year, the New Orleans game, and man, remember when they were booing Jordan Love and the Packers offense?
Yeah, Jordan talked about it with Maria Taylor on the interview. It's like, yeah, we were getting booed and first start here. I'm like, oh, this is not how I planned on it going.
I mean, I kind of understand when you can't pick up a first down, let alone score. I mean. Yeah.
That was green and gold package that booed the offense in those early games, because there was also the Minnesota game there where I think they got three offensive first downs in the first half and one or two of them were on penalty.
Yes, sir.
Tough deal. Tough deal there. All better days ahead, though.
Big time.
Better days ahead. That's what I'm talking about. Keep that energy high.
And gold.
And gold package, because we're all one big package. Show us your package, Packers fans. Don't do that on the NickLaylaw.com talking sex line. Don't do that. What we're talking about is your ticket package. Ticket package. That's Billy Nagler. I'm
bringing it.
This is Gary the G Radio. We got one more to play right here on the game. Stay with us.
40 hours got me going out my mind. Dallas dropped another game.
Gary the G Radio heading into the final stretch here. And Billy really, really testing it with that music selection there.
Did you not hear him say Dallas drops another game in overtime?
Don't ever play that again.
Post Malone?
Don't ever play that again.
Wow, that's a terrible take by you on music.
That is a terrible song, is what that is.
Really?
That reminds me of the absolute, like, crime against humanity that is the cover version of In the Air Tonight that they use on Monday Night Football. Like, you talk about assaulting the ears. You talk about, like, just disrespecting a pop classic. Just, oh, that's tough. And I don't, like, hate Post Malone. I think he's got some good tracks. That certainly isn't one of them.
Damn, okay. All right, there we go. That's a good one. That's a good take right there. Hot take. Sizzling.
I don't know how hot it is. It's an old man take is what it is.
Big old man take. Real get off my lawn. Get that new music out of here. Yeah. Get that music with all the computers out of here. That stuff is just terrible.
I make music with computers. It's just that music is just awful. That's just God awful. It's just terrible. But you know what won't
Hopefully
be terrible?
That's not the reaction to the Packers game coming up on
Sunday. See, we both had the same.
Oh, we're ready for it. Oh, yeah.
For this transition back to Packers talk there. Because God knows we don't need a Post Malone-like appearance from the Packers offense. We need to get Jaden Reed going. Need to get Josh Jacobs going a lot earlier. And I will say, Billy, we did talk a lot about Josh Jacobs leading into the game on Care the G Radio, the podcast. I will say those first couple drives where he wasn't getting traction, he did have nowhere to go. Man, it was just great to be back in the throes of overreaction where like everything online was like, because especially Emmanuel Wilson comes in and is asked to do very different things in a very different way and is very productive right off the gate.
Immediately dominates.
Immediately, yeah. Like, everyone's like, oh, well, they spent all this money on Josh Jacobs. Oh, there's Emmanuel Wilson needs to play a lot more, blah, blah, blah. And then Jacobs comes out and just is bawling, like, in the second half, right? Like, I just love the overreactions. It's so ingrained now, especially with the online connection we all have. Like, the ability to just completely overreact to every single moment. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's just great to be back talking football.
Yeah, it's good that it's back. It's good that you can and we can all be amongst friends and say, well, I don't know why they spent all this money on a guy that obviously can't create his own hole when he's getting hit by a linebacker 3 yards in the backfield. There were great ones of that case. Also, some real quick overreactions, and I don't know how many they were vastly for you because you were off of Twitter, these missed tackles. I mean, if they practice, if they would just play in the preseason, we wouldn't be missing tackles. Then you watch Sunday and see every other team in football miss tackles. And it almost means that players on offense are really, really good at breaking tackles. Like the thought
we're getting you in a bad position.
You playing seven snaps in the preseason, for you play 15 snaps in the preseason, you're going to make all these tackles. Like that, I can just never get behind.
No,
when I'm also the practicing of tackling doesn't
it's
happen.
It's non-existent. It doesn't work in the
there's
NFL. They don't
do
it.
They're going in training in preseason either.
No, absolutely not. I will say it's funny too that you bring up all the missed tackles that we watched on Sunday. No question about it. The other thing, and this was kind of reiterated last night in the Monday night game, and we certainly saw some of it with the Packers, right? The amount of illegal formation penalties. Mm-hmm. Holy cow.
Yeah, point of emphasis, a real thing. Yeah.
I mean, you talk about just sucking the joy out of a moment. The NFL knows that is like the thing they do best in the offseason is come up with these point of emphasis for the officials to look at and then just rob you of any joy that football is back because, you were not lined up correctly over the tackle and that's an illegal formation. And when we have a great play, like, it's just, why are you like making it so overcomplicated to the point where you can't enjoy the product? That's what blows my mind, especially when it has no material effect on the play itself.
Well, listen, now as the offensive lineman, I will say this. It does give you a decent advantage when you're lining up.
Well, if you're lined up
a yard behind. Yeah.
Look, that I get. But if the dude on the wide side of the field is not on the line of scrimmage by an inch or whatever, and then the dude throws
coach
a flag.
Better. Coach better.
What in the hell are we doing
coach
as
better.
A society?
What are you talking about? Go get my flag then. Go get me one because he's doing the same thing. That Nags, we saw this a lot in that LA game.
Yeah.
And I know people were not happy about it.
Yeah.
Then why are you not in the ear of the official on your sideline? You That'd have be. One as well, and they're doing the exact same thing. But let's make it our point of emphasis to go and earn that call like they're earning on the other side.
Let's see some consistency.
Consistency? Let's keep working at it, though. You gotta call these guys on it. You gotta be ready for it. You gotta be in on the. You gotta be in those ears.
It just blows my mind, man. It's like a multi-billion-dollar industry, and they're like,
"Excuse me, you were lined up an inch off the field, and it was a great play that everyone was cheering, and now we are not allowed to enjoy it because this guy who had nothing to do with the play is an inch off the line." So,
I like how that's a little Elmer Fudd.
It's just Billy. It's just like why. We're not out here to watch the dudes in stripes. No one paid their money, their hard-earned money, to come out and cheer for Ron King Torbert.
Don't tell that to his family. They showed up in their 64 uniforms to watch their guy go out there and do his thing, and yeah, he damn well did.
He most certainly did. Oh, yeah. Holy cow.
I hope Sean Hockley is up here coming up next, because I just love the dissertations of each call.
God, and then you know what he's great for? Every single game that he works for the Packers, at some point, he will call the center for lifting his head. Just lifting his head. He's done it like the last three games now, mm-hmm. where somebody like, you know, just Myers just lifts his head. As you can, as a center, you're supposed to be able to. And he's, oh, no, he's simulating the snap. That's a flag.
Just a lot on defense, too. To simulate the snap is a big one on defense.
Making it all about him. That's what the worst do, and that is Hockley. That is what he does.
Oh, no, he's one of the absolute best. He is the most entertaining guy that they have right now. You can take your Land Clark and shove it with the guy that feels like he is the most frustrated guy to be. Sorry, you're on the field of an NFL game, Land. Wake up. Let's see some freaking personality.
I don't need personality from my dudes. Yeah, I just need them to call the game correctly and consistently.
I need showmanship. Teams. You're out there. You're on the microphone. Let's add some entertainment value to it. Like this. This was the most entertaining 2 hours that Mike Keller hasn't done in a long time. I mean, like, are you kidding me? Like, Mike Keller back tomorrow. Tim Allen also does a lot of filling for Mike Keller, but this way better than it could ever be. And it's only going to get better, because we're going to get into midseason form coming up next
week. More reps, improvement, development throughout the season. We're going to hit our stride late November, early December. Packers are going to take off. Can't wait. I'm very excited.
And we might even actually hit a couple of times on the way as well as we get better at this. Nags, great work. Let's do it again next week coming up here.
Looking forward to it. Always great to be with you, Billy. Make sure you check out the podcast. If you missed the show, if you missed the start, and you go, like, what are they talking about? Available wherever you get your podcasts. Do it, people.
Carry the G Radio back on Tuesday. Tim Allen's next.